This is the Save My HSC show. For more free resources, go to savemyhse.com.au.
G'day guys, welcome to the Save My HSC show, the go-to resource for help with HSC English. Each episode is syllabus focused and can be digested in under 15 minutes. In today's episode,
we will be talking about how to read or view a text. So I've got here, I couldn't get anyone to join me on a podcast, interview style. So I managed to get my girlfriend to help me out. Now, to give you a bit of a background, she was actually very, very, very academic when she was in school. I think she was ducks of her grade at one stage and did drama, did English, and did it all very well. And so she's here to share her wisdom on this topic, because I've talked to her about this quite a lot, and I definitely think she has some good things to say. So do you want to introduce
Shouldn't
yourself?
You mention... What? I'm a published author. So oh, yes. You do have someone of note on your podcast. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, so she's quite brilliant. She was published, was it 11 or 9?
Yeah, 11, by Paul Jennings.
Yeah, so just to give you a little bit of context there. I do like to aim high. Unfortunately, I'm definitely the one reaching here. But let's get down to business. So I don't know, do you want to run through the types of text that you could be going over?
Well, you're the captain of the ship, you do it. I'll put in my 2 cents worth.
Okay, so the types of text that you potentially can do is, you're going to get either a book, a play, a poem, a song, an artwork, a film. You might get some media, so maybe a documentary or a speech. Outside the scope of that, I can't think of anything else that that they would give you. I mean, those are all the mediums that I've worked with students on. But I guess the first thing we really want to do is we want to identify the major theme of the module. You want to know what you're looking for within that particular text, because if you haven't gone to your prescriptions, if you haven't gone to the syllabus, how are you supposed to read that text or watch that text without kind of knowing what you need to do? So now me and Kelsey actually have a few disagreements on how we go through each of these mediums. So I think it'll be quite fun to just listen to how we go across this. So for books in particular, so let me know if what your thought processes are once I go through it. When I'm doing a book, I like to read the book, but as I'm going along, I tend to stop and take notes. I know that when I was at university, they taught us to read the text for the first time and then go back to it and take your notes when you've read it. But I was always someone who's like, you know what, I'm really lazy, so I like to create as little work as possible for when I'm at the writing stage. So the way I figure it is, the more stuff I collect before I'm at the end, the better off I am by the time I get there. But I do definitely think that it's worth reading a text multiple times. But sometimes we do have time constraints.
Or you hate the book.
Yeah. Oh, well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think if it's a good book, I think then you can read it multiple times. Because I would never take notes as I went, because I'd never have anything near me to take notes. So I would just dog tag anything that was interesting. And then I would read it a second time and I'd go through and take my notes. But then if I hated it, like when I had to do Death du Jour, which I hated. So I just went into it knowing what I had to look for. When I found it, I wrote it down and then I never had to read the damn thing again. So I think if you can find enjoyment in it, then try and read it through and just enjoy it and mark down anything you're affected by. Just dog tag it and then go back and do your notes. But if you find it difficult, then I'd do it as you go because it's going to make it a lot easier. You're going to torture yourself twice.
Yeah, and you actually had a special dog tagging system, didn't you?
What's that? Just dog tag the bottom page? It's very clever.
I didn't even think of that. So basically what Kelsey, do you want to run them across what you would do?
Well, it's nothing smart, just because I don't use bookmarks, so I usually dog tag the top to show where I'm up to. But if I find anything interesting, and that's even if I'm just reading books normally, if I'm particularly affected by anything, I'll just dog tag the bottom of the book, so I know that's something I thought was interesting or something I thought I could use later or a quote I liked or something like that, so then I can just look at the bottom of it and whatever's turned over, that's something to go back to.
Yeah, so this differs completely from how I approach books, because I tend to like my books to stay in as pristine order as possible.
Oh,
which
no,
is,
I wreck mine.
Yeah, which is like a, you know, amongst most people who like to read, they generally like to just destroy books because they're like, yes, it's been loved. Whereas I like to, you know, I like to read them and then, you know, leave it in like pristine condition on my bookshelf. And then, you know, look over it and be like, oh, that was a wonderful section. And you know, it's definitely...
If you don't break their spines, you don't love your books.
Yeah, so so I tend to have documents upon documents of notes. I love having documents. Some people like to write in them, but I mean, look, if you've got text that you have to give back to the school, it might be problematic if you destroy it completely. I think they shouldn't care too much if you dog tag it, but check your...
No one checks the bottom pages anyway.
Yeah.
That's why it's clever.
Okay, so that's kind of how we think we should go through books. Now, with plays, I guess the main thing, because I mean, you've probably got a good idea of this because you did a lot of drama when you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say would be the clear distinctions or the most important things to do for doing plays?
I think with plays, if you can read it out loud and you'll feel like an idiot, or just get someone else to do it with you. But reading it out loud is the difference, because it's something that's going to be verbalised. You don't just sit there and read a play. And I think as well, when you're reading out loud, it gives you a good idea that it's very... Like a line in a play, you can take it a lot of different ways. It depends on the way that you're saying it. It depends on the reactions of other people. So I think reading it out loud or being mindful of that makes a big difference. You can't just sit and read a play start to finish and then think you've got a good idea of it. So it does help to do. It does help to read it through, but I think you need to definitely read it out loud. And I know we have a bit of an issue because I don't think that you should watch the play.
Mm.
Paul thinks that you should jump on the internet and try and find a version of the play to watch. And I don't think you should do that if you're trying to discuss it yourself and form your own opinions.
Yeah, I guess the reason why I tend to like people to watch it is for, I guess, more advanced students, they will definitely be able to take the time and the energy to read it out loud and work with their friends and discuss it that way. But I mean, most students want to get through it as quickly and, you know, quickly as possible and hopefully in the most effective fashion. And I think to get the benefit of at least hearing, you know, the tonality and how things are meant to be said, it can help to watch it. But I mean, the risk that you do run is you get a shonky version, and you'll get an idea of some bad acting or, you know, like it might have been put out as, you know, in a way that it shouldn't have been. But I mean, I think what that we notice these things, so like you can tell when something's been done badly, and then you can look at that scene again, you can read it, and then you can might read it out loud to yourself and analyze it. So I mean, that's why I think that it's still helpful to see it.
I don't know, I think you still run a bad risk, because there's a lot of bad plays, there's a lot of bad versions, there's a lot of because I was telling you before, because we did one of my drama teachers, she was the one who workshopped that horrible Schoolies play, which they made into the movie, and it was blurred, and I watched that movie, and the part that I was playing, the girl murdered it. She absolutely murdered it. It was a really, really funny part, and she just, the way that she delivered things, there was none of the meaning came across, because she had a monologue, and it was very much about she thought she was going to do all these wonderful things with her life, and then she realized that every day you just get up and you go to work, and then one day you die, and she goes, well, why don't I just die now then? And it was sort of her realizing this very nihilistic view of the world. And it was very funny. But then in when they did it in the movie, she just ran over it, and it was sort of, she was trying to be funny, and there was none of the meaning and none of like the loss of wonder at adulthood. There was none of that in it. So I think, you know, if I'd been given that as a text and I went, I'll just watch the movie, I would have missed all of it, and I could have written a whole big passage on that monologue and what it meant. But if I'd watched the movie, I would have completely missed it. So I guess you can watch the plays and things, but I think definitely read it yourself and have your own idea formed of it, and have your own idea formed of how things should be delivered and what that means, and be mindful of it, because there's a lot of shit plays. A lot of people don't do them well.
Yeah, I'll definitely...
Especially Shakespeare.
And I guess you... Look, you've got the background in drama to have... I would defer to you on that particular point. but, yeah, so those are just a few ideas of how you can kind of approach it. So let's move along to poetry then.
Poetry, okay. Mm.
So I like to call it the land of the techniques. I find poetry to be quite useful because when I was a young teenager, I really loved rap music, like No Tomorrow. And I would, you know, listen to that. And then when we started doing poetry in high school, I could see the crossover. And I got really excited when you know, I could kind of look at my songs and I could look at this poetry and I could go like, you know, I could actually go, oh, this works. There is crossover in these places. But I suppose the main thing is, yeah, you want to get a very good idea of your techniques. You've got to know, you know, what they're using and, why they're using them. You know, to get the meaning out of a poem, you have to have a you know, like a large repertoire of different techniques. So it doesn't hurt to go to a website, you know, Literary Devices or Literary Techniques, and just, you know, start to know them. Because you know, for your comprehension section, just analysing poetry can be the difference between getting a horrible comprehension mark or a really high comprehension mark. You know, like that's, techniques are the most important thing for that section, and poetry is the way to get it.
Mm. I think poems as well, because they are technique heavy, it's actually quite easy, because it's easy to identify techniques. Like you can look at it and you can go, that's alliteration, why are they using it? So once you have a good handle of the techniques, they're quite easy to spot. So it's not as much having to use your intuition to get meaning out of things. You can spot them very easily and work off that, so it can be quite an easy process if you break it down like that.
And I suppose, like, you know, we mentioned songs just before. Now, teachers sometimes don't like these to be used, but a really technique-rich song with a deep amount of meaning about an idea, a generation or a movement, can be quite helpful to use. But I'd say, yeah, for songs in particular, they can be really good, but I would run it past your teacher first, because, yeah, a lot of the times teachers will just have a blanket no, because if you pick a shonky song, it can be horrible, and it's very easy to pick a bad song. And you also, when you're doing a song, you do need to focus on things like, you know, the tempo, pitch or chord that the song is being played in. So, you know, if you're doing music as well and you understand these things, it can be helpful. But if you don't, you might have to at least get a few techniques that you can learn that you would use for a song. Kelsey, do you have anything to say on the songs?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think, yeah, you just have to be mindful that along with the lyrics, you've got to listen to, you know, is it major, is it minor? Why are they using these? What are they trying to make me feel in addition to it? But that's probably fairly easy, because if you picked a song, you're responding to it for some reason.
Yeah, because I mean that's the big reason why I think songs are great, because some songs can be really, really deep with meaning. I mean, you know, you were mentioning The Herd, you know, I was 19.
Well, that's their remake of it, so that's an interesting one as well, because if you're doing that, that's a remake, and you can say, why have they done it this way as well, because the original's a lot different paced. So
yeah, and it's this you know what I mean? Like the amount of, I guess, meaning you can pull out of just, you know, that thought process of like, you know, what's the point of even creating a remake? And then their approach to it and why they approach it in that way. I mean, that's like a lot of analysis that you potentially could do for a song like that. But if you cut songs out completely, you lose the ability, you know, you don't have that anymore.
So I guess just be smart about your song choice and check first.
Yeah,
in case your teacher's an asshole.
Do you want to cover artworks? I think yeah, you probably have a stronger handle on art than me.
Artworks. I've written many art essays and they're terrible and tedious. Artwork, I guess, because it's visual, some people probably do a lot better with it, some people find it really hard, but the main things you're looking for are sort of design issues. So you want to look at things like the lines, form, what sort of colors are used, different tones, different textures that they use, any sort of patterns that are created. Those could be patterns in colors, there could be patterns in repetitious shapes, and the shapes that they're using as well. So you're wanting to have a look at that particular artwork, see what sort of artistic functions they're using and why they're using them or what sort of feeling they're evoking. So if you're thinking, if you look at the lines of a picture, if they're all sort of curved or if they're very fluid, then that's usually creating a feeling of it might be that it's a bit warmer, it might be a little bit freer, that's sort of a vibe you get from it. Or if they're very straight or if they're very jagged lines usually make you feel quite anxious, they can be quite jarring, so they might be trying to use them to convey that sort of sense. So you definitely just need to look at sort of the composition of what it is and what they're trying to convey with that. Why are they using these colors? Are they using dark colors to convey a certain tone? Are they all in this color because of something? I think as well with artworks, it's a good idea to have a look and see if there's any sort of intertextual references as well, because I think that's one you can get a lot of meaning from, because there's a lot of like Easter eggs and things hidden in artworks. So if you can delve a bit deeper, you usually find a bit of stuff. But yeah, that's mainly it. Just have a look, try and find what techniques they're using and what are they trying to convey with them.
Okay. And yeah, and if it's like an artwork that has, because you know, that's essentially if it's drawn art, but I mean, if media is included, you really should mention those types of techniques as well. I just wanted to throw that on the end there, because sometimes, you know, art can be moving art, and it's just, you know, knowing some other techniques to, if that's the type of art that you're using. I suppose that brings us to film. So what I like to do, because I don't like to ruin my watching experience, is I'll usually watch it through and then I'll go over it again to just pick out the cinematic techniques that have been used. I think films are usually quite easy to do, but Kelsey, you did mention an important point in the prep for this. Do you want to go over that?
What was my point for the prep? What did I talk about? I know when I watch them, I tend to, if I think anything's interesting, like if I spot a good monologue or if I spot a good scene, something where I'm just like, oh, the cinematography, it's amazing. Just pause it and just write down the time frame, because then it's going to save you just so much time fast forwarding, rewinding, trying to find it again. And that's going to take just a very little time out. So if you think something's really good, or like we said, because you need to know what themes you're looking for, if you find something that you're like, oh, that definitely relates, just pause it, just write it down, just the time, and then just keep going. Saves you a lot of time in the long term.
Yeah, because I mean, the main thing is, when it comes time to writing these things, we say time a lot. It's you're really stretched and stressing out, you know, when it's leading up to when you have to actually have your assessment due, or when you have to write your essay. So it does help to have less to do at those points.
And movies are long, because you're committing yourself to at least 90 minutes every time you watch it. So if you've got to watch it again and again and again, you'll be up to 9 hours just sitting there in no time. But definitely try, you do definitely try and watch it through at least once with limited interruption. That's why I'm like, just pause and write it down. Don't write down any notes, just put down the time and keep going.
Yeah. So that's kind of a, I think, you know, finding your cinematic techniques. I mean, there's plenty of sites online. Look for ones that are a bit more, you know, HD English specific, because that can have, you know, ones that'll be more relevant to whatever you're studying. And with documentaries or media, I'd say it's very similar to film, but the majority of what you see is, you know, it's kind of not a construction. So whereas a film, the set's made up, the actors are made up in their makeup, everything that they're doing, you know, they're acting everything out. Whereas if you're doing media, like, some of you are doing, say, Go Back to Where You Came From, the people on there, it's just their personality, it's who they are. They might be acting out for the camera, but they're acting out in their own fashion. It's not scripted. And then they'll be dressed in their own clothes. Like, the one guy's always got these, you know, very, you know, right-wing references on his T-shirts. You wouldn't get that sort of thing in a film, but to get a picture of that character or their you know, their identity, or the discoveries that they have, I mean, you can mention things about their clothing choice and things like that as they go through their discovery journey. So, I mean, that's where it can be very helpful. You know, to notice the little constructed elements that do actually exist and how it plays out in the background of this, you know, very real scene. Do you have anything to say on the media?
I think beforehand you were mentioning as well, which you should probably go over now, just what were the constructed elements, because you were talking about with that one how they went and they got on the boat and that had been very deliberately sort of wrecked to give them that experience. So you need to be aware that while a lot of their reactions and their settings are very natural, some of them are constructed. So you do need to be aware of when that's happened, and what does that mean, and make sure that you sort of integrate that as well, because, you know, that boat wasn't just sitting there. That's an experience that they put together for them, and they put it together for them for a reason. To film it, so just be aware of what the constructed elements are within those, because a lot of it is just natural, but then some of it will be putting them in very specific situations, and they've done that for a reason.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, because you do want to note, because it's the smaller elements, you know you've got to be focusing on those particular features, because that's where, you know, I mean, that's where they're trying to construct some sort of discovery, because that's, you know, I mean, that's what a documentary or, you know, piece of media generally is trying to do. So the last thing that we've got is speeches. Kelsey, you made an interesting point before where you said listen to the speech before reading the transcript. So just give me a rundown of why you thought that was important.
Well, because it's a speech and you're listening to speeches usually delivered so that they can try and inspire people or get them on side. And so the main way that they're going to do that is the way that they're using their language, their tone, their projection, things like that. I'm sure that you all know quite famous speeches, and there's always some lines that people will repeat from them. So I think it's important to listen to it first off to see what affects you or what way they're sort of delivering things. If they're being very quiet about something, then they deliver a very forceful line. So definitely listen to it first before you read the transcript, and you can see what they've used to sort of punctuate their main arguments. Mm-hmm. And then I would go through and read it and look for the content. But first of all, I think listening to it, you're really going to find what vocal devices they're using to be effective.
Yeah, so I mean, to reiterate that, just, you know, like, listen for the pitch and tone, you know, as well as the content and context. So I think that's pretty much everything. I hope this one's been helpful. It's been a bit of a long one, so sorry if it's gone over time. But thanks again for listening. And yeah, if you did find this podcast helpful, do please rate and subscribe. Tell your friends about it. And we are in the process of trying to set up like a more of a membership thing. So if that's live on the site, have a click through. There is an option just so that you can kind of have a look at, say, old essays. And we'll be doing all the recordings of, say, lessons that we've done, like all the online recordings. We're going to put that all into the membership area. So yeah, thanks again for listening, and hope to see you next time. Bye. Do you want to say bye?
Oh, bye, everyone.
Okay, till next time.